broadcasting before and probably after the rapture. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
One of the best voices and guitar players in the industry, Mr. Johnny Lang. Folks, you are listening to the Drew Marshall Show. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live right here in Southern Ontario, Joy 1250. Let's have a little listen to some... Now, listen, I had this guy on the show, Fred Phelps. I'm trying to think how long ago that was. Years ago.
Yeah, about long before I was here.
6 or 7 years ago. And people were very angry at the fact that I gave him airtime. And they were even angrier with me that I didn't, attack him. But the problem is, that's what he wanted.
Yeah, and you can hear that in some of these interviews. He just talks over you. And,
yeah. And so I was just trying to pull the grace out of him and let him go.
Pull the grace out of him. I guess you were yanking on that. Nothing came out, did it?
So have a little listen. Here's a little reminder about Fred Phelps and what he was all about. He just passed away a little while ago, and his grandson is going to join us in just a few minutes. His grandson just left the church, Zach Phelps Roper. He would be, I wonder how many people now have, well, in his family, I think there are 4 siblings in his family that have left.
Wow.
And I asked some of them if they wanted to come on with Zach, and they said no. And I think they've had some bad media experiences where people have not been maybe too cool about it. Or they've been quite vitriol about his, their grandfather.
And don't give them a chance to give their side.
That's right.
Right.
So have a listen to Fred Phelps just as a refresher course.
And I mean that in the kindest way.
And this nation's under the wrath of God Almighty, and this nation needs to be told that.
And you,
that's
you think
the
that
message,
part of,
and that's,
you think part that's of being a good American is to have signs like those that we've just shown?
I'm telling you that that's the only righteous message for this evil nation that has gone the way of the Brokeback Mountain. A decent regard for the opinions and practices of all mankind for 4,000 uninterrupted years demands that these perverts, after 4,000 years of calling them faggots, still be called faggots. God's wrath is upon this nation, and he's pouring out that wrath by killing these soldiers and maiming these soldiers in Iraq and sending them back in body bags, and it's only going to get worse.
Pastor
the metaphoric Phelps, language of the scriptures is that smoke is coming out of the
Pastor
nostrils
Phelps,
of God and fire is coming out of his mouth.
I think it's already...
Now that means that God is cursing this nation.
I hear you.
And
listen,
this nation must be told that. And anybody that has just a little teeny-weeny knowledge of the Bible knows that that's the truth.
Listen,
this nation's only be going from bad to worse under the wrath of God Almighty.
Already recognize
all these
exactly,
efforts to stop
hold
us
on, just hold on for a second here and let me get a word in.
So those two boys, duped by the satanic spirit of mockery like John Stewart and Stephen Colbert, rolled over, went back to sleep. The next morning, they and all their fellow citizens of Sodom and Gomorrah were toast. Her queen, Elizabeth II, is the queen of fags.
Fag feces blended with fag semen and dyke feces on the Bible.
All right, so I think that's probably a good time to stop that. So, again, just for some of you, and if you were offended by that, you're not alone. But this is the context for this next discussion, this next chat. The first Phelps member who sort of left the church, who we had on their show a little while ago, was Nate Phelps. And Nate is now an atheist fella who works for the Center for Inquiry. here in Canada, and he lives out in the Calgary area. And we had him in studio. Were you here when Nate Phelps came in? Or was that before you?
I think it might have been before
okay.
me. You always bring in the cool guests when I'm not in.
Yes, that's what I do. And very interesting guy. It was good to hear his story, leaving the family. But then he became an atheist. And, you know, some people would sit there and say, no wonder you became an atheist. My goodness, you know, growing up in that. Well, there's another family member that has left, Zach Phelps Roper. He is former member of Westboro Baptist Church, the grandson of Fred Phelps. And, you know, Zach had tried to leave what's known as the most hated family in America. That you know, phrase has been bantied about numerous times before. But a few months ago, 1 month before his grandfather and founder of Westboro Baptist Church passed away at the age of 84, Zach made the break, and he joins us today. Hi, Zach. How you doing, buddy?
Very good.
So we got you on the line just as we were playing some of those clips of your grandfather, and you know, this is stuff that you grew up with and you were quite used to, and dare I say, participated in. You were a full-fledged member of the family's church?
Yes, I was.
And what did you picket?
Well, I picketed soldiers' funerals for one thing. I also picketed sporting events, and I remember in particular that I picketed Coretta Scott King's funeral.
And so, so you were standing outside with signs, and what were the signs saying?
Like, thank God for No Fags in King's Dream was the one for Coretta Scott King, but also signs like thank God for dead soldiers and God hates abortion. I was kind of fond of that one for some reason.
right. Do you remember people challenging your group? I mean, obviously you would. How did you feel when the people, sometimes they would separate protesters who were protesting you, who were protesting these events, they would separate you and they would be across the street or they'd come right up to you. Do you remember any conflicts with people who used to protest you?
Well, I remember one time I was completely surrounded by high school students, and that kind of freaked me out a bit. I got separated from my family.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your life was ever in danger being part of Westboro Baptist Church?
Not really. But in that particular instance, that was kind of freaking me out a little bit. I was doing a lot of praying right then and there. when I got surrounded, yeah, it was kind of freaky. I couldn't get anyone on the phone or see any of my loved ones. It was so densely packed with people right around me.
Zach, what was the youngest age you were when you were sort of sent out to picket?
Probably around 3, because I could hold a sign about that time.
So from the age of 3 to, how old were you when you left?
23, so about 20 years.
Yeah, so for about 20 years, you were involved in all of these protests and pickets, and you would, and again, just for our listeners, for you know, I don't want to kind of keep going over the sour part of your life, but I got to give the context here. For 20 years, you were part of a family and a church who would go out and protest at funerals of fallen soldiers or at funerals of the children who were massacred in, I think it was Pennsylvania. Was that where that was? The Amish school shootings.
I think so.
And, you know, there's so many different events. As a matter of fact, is there not a protest planned for Maya Angelou's funeral?
There is one planned that I've seen multiple Twitter messages from WBC about that. I don't know the details yet, but I am certainly planning to counter-protest them with the United Bikers Against Unjust Causes and Tragedies.
Wow. So there's a bunch of bikers that protect the loved ones from your family's protests.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be part of that group. Is that the first time you've been part of the other group?
That's correct. That'll be my first counter-protest of my family.
So do they know you're going to do that?
Well, I suppose they would because I tweeted every last one of them this morning. There was like 50. We have like 50 Twitter. There are like 50 Twitter accounts related to WBC, and I tweeted every last one of them this morning.
So they're not going to be happy with you, but will they? I mean, they can't be surprised. Will they be angry with you?
Oh, I'm sure they will be. But you know, it's I think it's necessary in order for them to see, the love of God and to see the love of mankind for them. I think that it's necessary for me to be on the forefront and just, to set the example of showing them unconditional love and empathy.
Okay, of all the family members that have left the family, which family member that left do you think caused the most, the greatest uproar amongst your family? In other words, which one of your family members left, and when they left, did your family go, oh my goodness, I can't believe they left?
Well, I would say probably my sister Megan and, my sister Megan left with my sister Grace, but Megan was certainly, had a very great mouthpiece when it came to the church. She did a lot of Twitter and other things. She was quite a spokesperson. That was a complete shock to my system. I didn't expect her to leave.
And how long ago did she leave?
She left in November of 2012.
Mm-hmm. And you tried to leave 3, 4, 5 times, something like that?
Yeah. I got angry enough to leave anyway about that many times, but then I kind of snapped back to, when I was afraid of losing my family, I kept snapping out of it, so to speak, and submitting myself to them.
But how do you know that those moments weren't just sort of, a young guy getting ticked off with his family and saying, screw you, I'm out of here. You don't let me do what I want. I don't get any freedom. I'm not respected around here. Nobody cares. How much of that do you think it was just you being a young guy, and how much of it you was sort of this virtuous nobility of understanding the hatred of your family?
Well, most of it was probably just because I was a young guy. But, certainly some of the last times that I saw them, there was one time I thought I wanted to become a doctor, and they flat out told me, no, you can't do it. My parents told me that, and they didn't explain why. And, it didn't feel like I was being respected, and it was, that felt really bad to me.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, your mom is Shirley, is that right?
Yes.
And Shirley is, without doubt, the new, well, I don't know whether she's the new spokesperson of the family, but she is certainly one of the most outspoken members of Westboro Baptist Church.
Yes, she is.
Mm-hmm. And look, Zach, you and I don't know each other at all. We've had a couple of, very cordial conversations, and I said before the break that you now absolutely stink of unconditional love. I mean, that's the aroma that you have now.
Yes.
So I'm trying to contrast you and your mom, and I mean, talk about night and day. Seriously, when I've seen your mom being interviewed and listened to her talk, dude, yeah. I know I'm talking about your mom, and so please forgive me, but that, what I've seen, I would not want to be her son.
Well, she's very nice if you have the same belief system and stuff. The thing was, growing up, I didn't, they don't, expect you to choose to, want to stay there until, you're at least a teenager. And, I had a very happy childhood.
Well, that is, this sounds a little, a little fake or a little, I don't know, but I'm very serious when I say this. I'm really glad that you said that, that you just said you had a very happy childhood. That makes me absolutely thrilled, because part of me wondered about what the heck it was like growing up in that family.
Yeah. Yeah, we did had a lot of vacations, and we did a lot of fun stuff, for sure. Mm-hmm.
So do you remember the first time where you sort of went, I'm getting a little understanding that I'm actually part of something that is not really all that great?
Well, I didn't really get that far down until the last couple of months. And that's when I didn't realize how bad the church was, I think, until just a couple, maybe in the last month or so, really, when I started to realize how much, empathy I was receiving outside of the church versus what I was receiving inside. I didn't really realize just how bad it was until I realized how good it was out here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so when I say that Zach Phelps Roper is a member of the most hated family in America, what goes through your brain when I say that?
Well, I'm glad I'm not anymore. I still am part of the family, but I'm not in the church anymore, and I'm very happy to say that, because it's horrible. It's horrible that they're inside that mind trap, so to speak, where they can't get out of that way of thinking. and believing in this God who has unconditional hatred for most of mankind, and the total lack of empathy that it kind of strikes when you see someone say that God hates you and then doesn't tell you anything about, you know, doesn't want to encourage you to fix your behavior or give you any solutions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Can you, and folks, just a reminder, we're on the phone with Zach Phelps Roper. He is a former member of the Westboro Baptist Church, grandson of their founder and leader, Fred Phelps. His mom is Shirley. Is your mother now the sort of the leader of the church?
Well,
or would it need to be a man?
Well, yeah, there are actually 8 elders or pastors of the church, actually, as far as I know. There were, by the time I left 3 months ago. And she is, though, a very outspoken member of the church, of course, and she has done a lot of... She used to do a lot more interviews and things and was more of the media contact until recently when Steve Drain kind of took on that role.
But she's got, I mean, how many of her children have left the church?
Well, I make 4.
Okay, so 4 of how many children?
11.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
So 4 of her 11 children have left the church, and I would imagine there'd be a bit of, I mean, you know, you're still her kids, and she can still think the way she thinks, but you're gone. I mean, how often do you see her now?
Very rarely. The last time I actually saw her was a couple weeks ago. One of the last times I did see her, she did break into tears and gave me a hug when I came to do some kind of, you know, get some kind of logistical matter taken care of. You know, it's...
Okay, let's talk about how it went down. When you left, and I keep saying left the church because I'm trying to not make it so Jerry Springer-ish here, but when we say you left the church, that means you left the family, correct?
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. So when you left the family, did you have to sneak out in the middle of the night? Was there a fight? Was there a big sit-down conversation?
There was a bit of a fight, yeah. It wasn't much of one, though. It was mostly... I was having terrible shoulder pain because of these trigger points that I developed from an injury at work at the hospital in town. And I was in a lot of pain there, and also like in my lower back, just because, you know, it just adds some lower back pain as well. And it was so bad at that time, I felt like I needed to go to the emergency room. And so I was telling my dad, I think I need to go to the emergency room. It hurts so much. And I was asking for so much of help from my family because I didn't know what was going on with my shoulders at the time. And the problem just kept getting worse and worse, and I was in so much pain, it felt like. So he thought that I was, you know, trying to just get it, you know, I don't know, either hyperbolize and just, you know, kind of, you know, just waste his time or try to just make, you know, draw attention to myself for no apparent reason, just, you know, because I wanted to do it.
So your dad was saying to you, suck it up, princess?
Yeah, no uncertain time. Yeah, it's kind of like that, yeah.
Okay.
I would rather not go into the actual language that he used because, you know, but anyways, he was very upset. And, you know, the thing is that they put a lot of stress on themselves, you know, doing all this stuff and having full-time jobs, and, you know, he was just really, really tired that night, and I came in at like 10:30 at night to tell him this, and so naturally he was upset.
But hold on, Zach, I got to interrupt you for a second. You know, sure. You got to know that that in the vast, vast majority of family situations, and you're not even a child. I mean, how old were you when you came in? You're this age. How old are you now?
23.
All right, so your 23-year-old young guy comes in and says, "Dad, this is hurting so bad. I gotta go to the hospital. I gotta get this checked out." You know that the vast majority of parents around this world would say, yeah. "All right, let's hop in the car. Let's go."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
No, but do you understand that?
Yeah, I definitely understand it. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Okay. You know, as a dad, like if I've got a 25-year-old son, if he came in and said that to me, I would know him. And I mean, I don't know, Zach, maybe you are a princess and you complain and cry about everything. I don't know you. Maybe you are.
Well, I try not to complain too much, and in fact, my work home doctor said that I had a very good tolerance for pain.
Right.
It's just that I waited, you know, and I wasn't sure that, you know, I didn't know that I had bad posture, and that's what was causing my lower back pain.
Okay, so you had this argument about the pain. They didn't want to take you to the hospital or whatever, and then you said, what, I'm out of here? That's it?
Well, he kind of scared me a little bit because he started shouting, and the thing is I kind of go to emotional extremes, and so I kind of got really afraid. And, you know, at about that time when I felt like I couldn't take anymore, I said, okay, I'm leaving. I just said, I'm leaving right now. And, you know, I started packing my stuff up, and then my father came in a few minutes later and was kind of, you know, he had, you know, that intense moment, you know, had passed him, and he's, you know, was saying, Zach, are you serious? And I said, yeah. Because I don't love this religion anymore. I'll just make it really simple for you. I don't love the religion.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was the truth.
So you packed up your stuff and went to a friend's house or something that night?
Well, I only got a couple of things that night. It was so late at night. But I kind of ran over to my friend's house kind of in tears. It was so emotional. But then the next morning, my father gave me a call and offered to take me to the emergency room, and in the process of, and so I, you know, accepted. But in the process of time, because we discovered understood that it was a work comp injury, we decided not to actually go to the ER, and I just went and saw the nurse, my work comp nurse, that morning. So, that next morning after I left, I did get my stuff picked up, and I moved to live with another relative.
Mm-hmm.
That's what went down.
Any regrets? Have you ever sat there and went, I need to move back?
No. I felt so I felt such great empathy from my cousins who helped me move my stuff. I realized there was a huge, you know, I just didn't feel, it didn't feel right at the church. And I'm so glad that I didn't go back, because I feel like I've grown a lot in the last 3 months. In fact, I feel like I've grown so much. Like, I was able to talk to someone on the phone last week who was in an abusive relationship with someone who was threatening, you know, to kill her. And I convinced her, you know, to go and seek help. And now she's doing just fine, she told me. And then there's this other lad that I was talking to in the last couple of days who is also, like, in an abusive relationship with his parents. And he's a young homosexual, and he was apparently like being sexually abused and physically abused by members of his family, and his own mother punched him in the face, and I've been trying to talk to him so that he would, you know, seek out help.
Sorry, I just want to interrupt you just for a second. What I'm hearing you say is that because of what I've gone through, I'm able to maybe walk with people who are going through similar sort of stuff, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in fact, much worse stuff in my opinion, because I was never physically threatened mm-hmm. by my parents with violence, and these people are. And I think it takes a lot of empathy, and it takes kind of a little bit of practice, you know, being able to understand what mind traps are, like when you make assumptions and expectations about like what will happen if you go to the police, you know, it takes a little bit of effort to discover what is keeping people from seeking help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the process of time, I think that, you know, eventually we won't have this problem of abuse and, you know, suicide and things like that, because people will be able to empathize with each other.
We're on the phone with Zach Phelps Roper. He is a former member of Westboro Baptist Church, the grandson of Fred Phelps, who, of course, is the founder of Westboro Baptist Church. Of course, the website they're most known for is GodHatesFags.com. I heard about Zach leaving the church and reached out to him. You're very open. I mean, you've got your phone number there, and which I would say as a dad, take your phone number down, dude. But anyway. So I reached out to Zach because, I really wanted to hear his story. When we had your uncle Nate in here, Nathan, you know, he's now an atheist. What do you think about God? When you left the church, left your family, did you leave God?
Well, I was very angry at God, I thought, because I didn't like the idea of someone who unconditionally hated most of mankind and would send them to hell for, you know, sins that he predestinated them to commit. You know, it just felt like a great injustice. And now, though, after I left the church and I got over that fear of the Bible being infallible, because I discovered, you know, there's this one verse in the Bible that says, "There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked." So according to what my interpretation of the Bible is, you know, just literally looking at those words, you know, as a member of the church, I thought that I was a wicked person and I was going to go to hell. But the fact is that I've never had greater peace in my life. Huh. I've never been more satisfied and happy with my life since I left the church. So that verse no longer rings true for me. And because of that, you know, I can call into question anything that I read in the Bible.
But Zach, you're a smart enough guy to know that just because we're happy doesn't mean we're necessarily believing the right thing. There are a lot of people who are happy doing things that are just atrocious.
That's true. And I don't believe in harming other people. And I think that that's kind of a universal, that people would rather be around someone who isn't trying to harm them. And that's my measure of whether something is good or not, or evil, you know. And it's not people. I don't believe in there being good and evil people, but actions that are either healing or, you know, that are kind of neutral, or ones that are harmful. And I'm just I want to try to eliminate the harmful ones and try to increase the amount of, you know, healing ones, helpful ones, like volunteering to help people and, you know, donations and things like that. And, you know, like the Peace Corps, things like that are things that I'm looking into being able to do.
Okay, here's a little blurb that would summarize where you're at these days. You sent this to me, and I want to read this to our listeners. Someone once asked me recently, what do you believe in? This is Zach talking here. I believe in a trinity, and here's the trinity. The intrinsic beauty of the earth and all living things, unrestrained freedom to act on one's heartfelt impulses, not necessarily governed by all of society's expectations, and discovering the oft-hidden truth as I see it day by day. Dude, we might have lost Maya Angelou, but you just wrote and communicated something as brilliant as she might have, so well done.
Thank you.
He goes on to say, and without these three major tenets, I don't think I would ever have reached my unshakable faith in the power of unconditional love. And you capped power and unconditional love, which I'm wondering if that means you believe there is a God, and even though you're not sure what God really is, you're convinced that if there is a God, then it is the God of unconditional love?
Yes, and I do believe that there is a God. Okay. I still believe in the God of the Bible, so to speak.
Okay, all right. So he says here, that reached my unshakable faith in the power of unconditional love, which is, in my humble opinion, the greatest gift that anyone has ever instilled in my heart, mind, and spirit. What that means to me is that I should show great empathy and compassion to every person, regardless of who they are or what they have said or done. I believe in absolute forgiveness. I also believe in God, and that he also, like me, loves all people unconditionally, and that his spirit rests on me to spread this message of love to the world. Finally, I believe in true love, which sounds like you've been watching Princess Bride. Great movie, by the way. Finally, I believe in true love, which to me means being faithful to one spouse at a time and doing everything I can to make sure that our marriage stays strong for all of our lives. I will never give up on true love. Are you married, Zach?
No, I'm not, but there is a young woman in my life that I have fallen deeply in love with.
Is she part of the church?
No. I met her about 4 days after I left the church.
Wow.
Which is amazing, isn't it? And she has a great amount of empathy and an incredible personality that I fell in love with in 4 days.
Zach, if any of your family members are listening to this interview right now, how do you think they're feeling? The ones that are still involved with the church?
I'm guessing that they have a lot of mixed emotions, probably mostly anger though.
Why?
Because they probably view this as a betrayal. Going to the media and telling them about, you know, some of the negative things that have happened in my life as a member of the church, and also because I no longer share their religious views at all, really.
If, and I, by the way, I'm not setting you up. I'm not, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, but, sure, and yeah, here's a little surprise, Zach. I've got your mother on the other line. You know, I'm not going to do that.
Oh.
But let's say I did do that. Let's say I said, hey, Zach, you know, your mom, Shirley, is on the other line, and she doesn't want to talk to you, but she's listening right now. What would you say to her?
I would say I love her so much, and I miss her, and I hope that she will come to see things from a different perspective here in the coming years. And I would love to see her again.
What would you want her to say to you?
Hug me, my son. Something like that. Or I love you too, you know?
Do you think she doesn't love you?
No, I know that she loves me. It's just that she is laboring under that mind trap. And, you know, she thinks that if she doesn't, you know, let me go, so to speak, then she's going to go to hell. Because you can't love your father, you know, your son or your daughter or your husband more than you love the God of the Bible, who is one who has, you know, unconditional love for those he loves, but unconditional wrath for everyone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, buddy. Well, listen, let me finish this. We've gone a little over time, but I kind of thought we might do that because you're just so willing to be vulnerable and open, and I love that. That's why I wanted you on the show. There are some family members that have left that I wasn't sure whether I wanted on because, I don't know, it seemed... I'm not sure. Anyway, look, Zach, I wanted you on the show because your pursuit of unconditional love...
Mm-hmm.
is something that I aspire to. So what I just said to you was, when I grow up, I want to be like you. and I seriously wish you so much the best in all of this. And I, you know, for me, the most important thing is the repairing of family relationship. And I don't know if that'll ever happen. And, you know, before somebody passes, I just really wish that the relationships would be healed for you guys.
Yeah, I have absolute faith that it will be healed, and that just watch me work some magic.
Well, and for your sisters, in particular, you know, same kind of thing. The journey is just... I mean, we've all been there. We've all been part of a family, and we've looked in the mirror and gone, how the heck did I get in this family, you know? And we just were on such a different page than our parents. But your stories are like that times 100.
Oh.
Anyway, well, I don't want to get mushy here, but I'm very proud of you, Zach. And
thank you.
And I really sincerely wish you the best, man.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Too. Folks, you can find him on Facebook. Zacharias Phelps Roper. Zacharias Phelps Roper. You can find him on Facebook. Friend him. Send him a little message. Encourage him. You can, if you don't have time to write that down, you can find the link to his Facebook on our website, drewmarshall.ca. Just click on next show, and that'll show you all of the stuff that we've been talking about today. Zach, dude, have a great weekend, man.
Well, thank you so much.
All right, take care. Hey, folks, I want to tell you about the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. You ready for this? For $12.50, that's right, only $12.50, we'll mention your organization's name, website, and a brief description. Did you catch that? During each show, we'll read out your organization's name, website, and a brief description for only $12.50. Now, obviously, there's no point in doing that only once during a four-hour show, so we'll read your advertisement four times per show for an entire month, and each time we do it, it'll only cost you $12.50. It's kind of like putting an advertisement up on every church bulletin in the GTA, except you don't have to get permission from that grumpy old lady at the front desk. Now look, because there are limited spots available for our 1250 special, why don't you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250. Now sure, we're right in the middle of things here in the show, but if you call us right now, toll-free, on 877-JOY-1250, we'll take your name and number and call you back on Monday to sign up for the Drew Marshall Show 1250 special. This is nuts. Are you sure we want to do this? How am I supposed to make any money?